For the week of October 24th, 2010, this is Showbiz Sandbox Episode 76, the podcast that brings you all the dirt on the news making headlines around the entertainment world. In Los Angeles, I'm Jay Sperling Reich.
And gloating over my new iPad in Los Angeles, I'm Karen Woodward.
And green with jealousy in New York, I'm Michael Giltz.
Of course, the biggest news, and we probably should have started with this, the biggest news of the week, in my opinion, besides the whole Mel Gibson brouhaha, was The Hobbit, which is now, as we reported last week, going to be directed by Peter Jackson. He made his name a household name by directing Lord of the Rings, and now he's going to direct the prequel, The Hobbit, in a two-part $400 to $500 million extravaganza. He's from New Zealand, but it turns out the film may not be shot in New Zealand the way Lord of the Rings was. And joining us to discuss this is Jonathan Handel, who has been a guest of the program before. Now, Jonathan, you are writing for The Hollywood Reporter now, and you are a lawyer for Troy Gould, a law firm here in Los Angeles. But The Hollywood Reporter gig is kind of new.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's exciting to be with The Reporter, especially since there's going to be a relaunch and a glossy magazine and so forth coming up. But yeah, I've been covering the Hobbit situation extensively for The Reporter.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there, how it started, where it is now? There's been 1,500 people were protesting in the streets of Wellington last week, and apparently there's going to be a protest this week as well.
Well, that's right. Actually, the rally this week happened yesterday. There were rallies this time in Wellington, Auckland, Christchurch, and three other locations connected with the filming of Lord of the Rings. So the country is really in an uproar. A number of government ministers, including the prime minister, have been on television, really saturation coverage down there, and are now meeting with Warner Brothers executives who have flown in. The situation is this. The local union, New Zealand Actors Equity, was trying to get Peter Jackson's company to bargain with it on conditions for actors. That wasn't happening, and finally the union asked the International Federation of Actors Unions for help on that, and they put a do-not-work order, a worldwide do-not-work order, on the picture. SAG and AFTRA were part of that order, British Equity, and so on and so forth, really across the English-speaking world. Well, that turned things into a very public spat, and Warners began to the process of threatening to move the production. What's happened now, and by the way, I should say that the threat of losing the production actually, according to currency analysts, helped drive the New Zealand dollar down.
Wow.
So it's kind of astonishing. But this is a $500 million two-film production and a small country. So what's happened now is that the labor unions ultimately blink a bit. They've taken off the do-not-work order. But Warners says that the damage may be done, and they're down there meeting with the government.
Now, didn't SAG and AFTRA almost immediately said, initially they said, no, we're going to back this boycott. But then they kind of backed off a little bit. They said, well, maybe not.
SAG and AFTRA kept the do-not-work orders in place until the middle of the week, last week, when they were requested by the New Zealand Equity to remove them at the same time that New Zealand Equity removed the...
Okay, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of then.
Did New Zealand Equity get anything in exchange for dropping that boycott?
Well, there's dispute over that. The contracts that are being offered to actors now actually have residuals in them for the first time in New Zealand, and did not previously have residuals. However, the observers on the other side of the table have claimed that, in fact, there was a residual concept set up beforehand. So, like everything in this controversy, there are multiple points of view as to the facts, as well as opinions as to what should be done.
Now, the way I understand it now is that the local union has called off their boycott. They don't have any objections to the movie going forward. But Peter Jackson now says, well, yes, but they could change their mind in 6 months or a year, so we can't live with that threat. We're going to have to move it elsewhere. This is what Warner Brothers is going to do, because these people could change their mind a year down the road while we're in the midst of shooting part two and put us over a barrel even worse. But that seems like the same threat that every movie ever made has had to face.
Well, of course, movies in the U.S. don't face that because that kind of a threat, because collective bargaining agreements in entertainment have a three-year term. So as long as an agreement is in place, a writer's guild agreement or whatever, Screen Actors Guild agreement, there won't be any strikes unless and until the renewal for the agreement falls apart, which is what happened with the Writers Guild that led to a strike, and also what happened with SAG. But in this situation, first of all, I should say it's Peter Jackson has not publicly said that he'll move the production. In fact, he's publicly said he doesn't want the production moved at all, and that he's, you know, angry and upset. It's Warner Brothers that's been public about this. What's interesting here is that Warner's is saying, yeah, there's some continuing threat here, although the union has actually agreed explicitly that they won't take action against the production. But what Warner's is doing now is meeting with the government, and there's a 15%, not even tax credit, but 15% grant program, meaning that somewhere on the order of $75 million, 15% of $500 million, will be paid by the government of the production costs. The question is Warner Brothers going to extract even greater concessions from the government than that standard 15% program they already have in place there?
And Peter Jackson and Philippa Boyens insist absolutely not. They've never said a word about this. They have no, they're not using this as a negotiating tactic. Not one word has come from them about this. They insist this to high heaven over and over again.
Philippa Boyens being the producer. Jonathan, you've mentioned that the country's prime minister, John Key, warned last week, or he said, you know, if you can't make The Hobbit here in New Zealand, frankly, what movies are you going to make here? Jackson himself said to New Zealand TV, and this is a quote, "1 month ago, no one in a million years thought this movie was going to leave New Zealand. At that point, the confidence in our country as a stable base to make movies was eroded. Is the movie going to come or go? We don't know. Warners are coming here next Monday, and we've got to fight like hell." But he basically says, he said in a press release that it's moving.
No, he said Warner's is coming to consider moving it, and he didn't, which is slightly different. And Warner's, by the way, has been silent about this. So do the math, as it were.
Well, he says next week Warner's are coming down to New Zealand to make arrangements to move the production offshore.
To make arrangements, yes. Or to begin arrangements. But here's the thing, in any case, the statement notwithstanding, Jackson certainly doesn't want that to happen. As he says, they'll fight like hell. So again, do the math. If you're Warner's and you have a meeting with the economic development minister, attorney general, who's also the arts minister, and the prime minister, if they say, we assure you that this is going to be okay, is Warner's going to say okay and be done with it? Or is Warner's going to say, you know, we've suffered economic damage here and we need something to help deal with the uncertainty. And this government is going to look at the number of people who have protested in the streets, and there certainly is the strong possibility that the New Zealand government will cave and will offer greater concessions.
Well, Peter Jackson so did not want to shoot The Hobbit anywhere other than New Zealand, where he shot the Lord of the Rings trilogy, that he started building sets in New Zealand, kind of unilaterally making that decision, according to several sources. They've spent $30 million already building sets, and all of those sets are now in New Zealand.
But I don't understand that particular description of events, because that's where they expected to make the movie anyway. I don't think it was a unilateral decision. It was where he's based and where they're going to shoot the movie. So why wouldn't they build the sets there? It takes a lot of pre-production time. My question is, what benefit would Warner Brothers have by moving the film? They want to be in New Zealand because it's non-union and it's cheaper to shoot there. And obviously, Jackson's special effects production company is based there. If they moved it to England, which to me seems absurd, they would have the cost of moving the sets and they'd be in a union town anyway.
That's exactly right. And by the way, to fill in a detail on the building of the sets and unilateral versus not, when Jackson started building, and I haven't heard the $30 million figure, it's interesting, but you know, presumably there certainly is a significant expense. But when Jackson started building those sets, the picture had not yet been greenlit. The picture was only greenlit a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago or so. This is a movie that has had enormous problems with losing a director and lawsuits and MGM's bankruptcy. They're co-financing with Warner's. To answer your question, why would Warner's want to go to the UK? I think you're right that it would be a disadvantage for them to go to the UK, but it would also be a huge disadvantage to the New Zealand government and economy for the picture to leave. And so this may be sort of a bank shot, as it were, where the studio will use the prior labor dispute as a way of shooting for greater incentives. It's a game of chicken at this point.
Well, certainly we appreciate you coming on and filling us all in on what's going on down there. We'll keep our eye on it. And again, you're with The Hollywood Reporter now. You've always been with Troy Gould, but now you have a book coming out, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's right. And thanks for mentioning it. Hollywood on Strike should be out next month. And it's a recounting of the Writers Guild strike and the SAG stalemate, 2007 to 2009.
Well, when the release date arrives, you'll have to come back and talk about the launch of the book.
I'd be pleased to do that. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Talk to you soon.